Hello.
Hello.
Is it Friday yet?
Oh, I wish. I wish. I wish.
I'm on the wrong end of the week, right?
Yes, slightly.
Yes.
Slightly.
How's the weather where you're at?
The dogs were not happy with the salt on their paws this morning. It was minus one when we walked. So
Ew.
it could be warmer.
Yeah, that's where we were getting what we got was over the weekend. We had like minus 0 to minus 2, minus 3. So yeah. The Great Dane ran out and literally was out for 5 seconds and ran back in and then jumped on the couch under the covers. The Doodle ran out, played with her stick, laid in the snow, played with her stick some more, then finally went and came in the house 10 minutes later with her face covered with snow.
Mine are happy to be out in the woods, but they like without off lead, but then when they're in the street, the salt is bad. But I don't have time to get my snowshoes on and go out because the snow is really deep in the woods still. So I probably at this point could put on boots and get out there, but it hasn't been packed down enough. So you go in, out, you sink up to your knee.
Our backyard, that's the weird thing, is ours is packed down quite a bit, so we actually, it's not that deep. And Bella has made herself, with the help of the Dane, has made herself some race tracks, so
Yes.
she'll kind of go off track a little bit and then jump on track, and all of a sudden vroom, 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 around
Yeah.
the
We have the same in our backyard.
it's like, oh boy, dogs are
They
crazy.
are funny.
But no, yeah, and we don't actually use salt too much on our walk, so that was all, that's also one other thing we don't have
No,
to
we
worry about
don't
as
either.
much.
It's just in the street. Like, if you want to, you either have
Yeah,
to walk in the street or on the sidewalks. And if you're, we have a couple of condominiums and also a retirement community. And the
oh.
retirement community and the condo, they dump so much salt. Like, I get that they can't have anyone falling, but it's like when there's like a sheet of
Yeah, I know.
salt, you know, it's like maybe a little too much.
I used to joke that the custodians at Cornell didn't shovel, they just salted.
Right.
Because everything would be green from or greenish blue from the salt.
Yes.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Well, we'll give folks a few more minutes to show up. We'll get started in 1 minute. I think Cornelia is coming, but I'm not sure. All right. Well, why don't we get started? And if she comes, she comes. All right. So welcome everyone. Today we just have a couple of things to chat about. The first in terms of administrative stuff. Tom, I believe you are on for a fee fine subgroup on Thursday, this Thursday the 12th. Are you still up for that?
Sure, why not?
All
Don't
right.
think my brain is frozen yet.
Give it time. Supposed to be warmer this week,
Exactly.
I think, here anyway. All right, so then that will be this Thursday. Next Monday is President's Day here in the state, so we won't have a meeting. But on the 19th, Stephanie Buck is going to come and talk to us about the circulation log. So I think this is a pretty kind of a my sense of it was that it's a starting the conversation again around sort of what are the purposes of CircLog? How is it working? What are things that are things that are needed? Or I don't know, it's kind of a high level discussion about the circulation log and getting some input from us. So that will be next, a week from this Thursday. And then the last week, believe it or not, we're already at another calendar calming week. So I think usually it's the last week of the month seems to be the calendar calming week of the month. So we will have no meetings on the week of the 23rd. All right. So one thing that we had had on our to-do list was to look at our charge and description, or I mean, it's really not a charge. It's really just a description of what our what the RA SIG does. So first, I actually want to add another link in here, which is sort of where the it's a special interest group page, and I'm going to point everyone to a particular place on it. Let me just put it in the chat. So this page that I just threw in the chat, hey Cornelia, oh, I forgot to put is has down near the bottom or at the bottom of the list of the special interest groups has really what I think is the official charge, like as a charge, and that's a charge for all special interest groups. So there's a description there of what the role of the special interest group is, and then the definition of what subject matter experts are within each SIG, and then what are kind of what the scope of our work is in the bulleted list at the bottom of that. So that we're not, that is a community developed charge, and that is essentially what we are charged with. However, if you go up to the resource access link on that page, it takes you to our resource access top level page, which is the one that's linked in the agenda. And this is where our description is on the upper right-hand corner, the About Us section. So one of the things that Cornelia and I had talked about was trying to figure out is does this paragraph still reflect what we see as our a good description of what we see as our role in the community. As one of the many SIGs, as you saw that long list. So, right now, the About Us says the Resource Access SIG works with developers to define essential circulation functions, checking out and discharging library materials, defines patron types, loan types, fines and fees, structures, recalls, holds, defines essential reporting functions. Advises developers on the interactions needed between libraries and other parties necessary for successful sharing of resources, whether through shared consortial collections, interlibrary loan options, or other mechanisms. So that covers a fair amount of territory. I'm wondering if the paragraph structure, there's a couple things I'm thinking about. Does the paragraph structure still, does it sort of meet the need here because some of these are not actually sentences, they're just phrases. So I'm wondering if a bulleted list makes more sense. And then are there things in here that don't fit and things that maybe would be that are missing? So those are sort of the big questions. So I would love to hand it over. I know I am a fan of a bulleted list as well, since people's attention span is so short at this point. So I would love to hand it over for folks to kind of reflect on that, and I can take notes on ideas, and then we can potentially go away and draft something and then come back. But I would like to hear what folks are thinking about an idea of what this should include. Are there places that we are missing things, etc.? So what are the thoughts on our description?
According to AI, we also do courses.
Courses. Of course. Of course.
Remote storage.
Course.
Mean, maybe something around, and interactions with other. With the user's app, remote storage, things that have an impact on resource access operations or workflows, to indicate that.
I think we should get rid of the essential and defining because that's all done. So more about refining, maybe. Or
Ongoing
on,
development and
yes.
refinement. Yeah, it definitely reads as a, this was written at the very, very beginning.
Yeah. I think you're probably also taking out defines essential reporting functions. We also don't have any references to things like the circulation log, notices. Circ rules and loan policies, I don't think is in there, is it?
Well, the whole like charging, discharging, or checking out, discharging, I think is supposed to sort of encapsulate all of that. Maybe not circulation log, but policies, rules, etc. Notices, I would think, but.
And that defines patron types, loan types, like those. I mean, patron types and loan types, I would think, would fall under not under circulation, under inventory and users. And there's really no patron types to speak of. Like, those are defined in tenant settings. Same thing with the loan types, those are defined at a tenant level. So I
Right.
think those could probably be dropped out. And the recalls holds, I think, could probably just change to requests. So it could be just condensed down.
What about the success, the sharing piece, successful sharing of resources, whether through shared consortial collections, interlibrary loan options, or other mechanisms? I'm not exactly sure what that
Well,
refers to.
I mean that seems to be a range of integrations with other systems like Iliad and others to, if you're talking about a consortial installation, how do, in some ways I think maybe having something that is more, again, I think having more broad definitions here in general rather than trying to get into, like, that's a lot of words just about resource sharing rather than having something like advises on, circulation, resource sharing, fees and fine, you could easily, I would think, sort of try to capture larger, and again, like remote storage is another one of those examples where it has essentially come to us because this is the, it's a subgroup of remote resource access because we're the ones who care. Even though in some ways it is more of an inventory problem than it is, or it is as much of, it is as much an inventory problem as it is a resource access problem.
Yeah, I think I like your idea, David, that it should, this is not, we don't want it to be a laundry list of every little piece that we're responsible for advising on, but we want to have the big buckets covered, that of the things that exist now or might exist in the future that we would have some stake in, weighing in on. We're doing work with others on. I think that makes sense.
We do something generic like the resource access SIG touches on all areas of folio that concerns access services, circulation, including loan policies, fees, fines, remote storage, notices, etc. The scope changes to meet the needs of the application and user base. That works. I like something like that.
I liked it. Yeah.
Type it up, Tom. Ah.
It's in the transcript. Hold on. Which I always have open because I need to read along half the time.
Perfect. Thank you. What do you think that's enough for us to go on, Cornelia? Can we draft something based on that and bring it back the next meeting we have? Okay,
I
cool.
think so.
All right. If others have other ideas and want to add something, please feel free to reach out to us and or send us a note on Slack and with your ideas, and we will try to incorporate them. Excellent. All right, I took a bunch of notes too in the actual agenda. Something we never do anymore, but I did. Okay. So the last thing on our agenda today just came up from Scott Peterson, who had a conflict, and but he asked on Slack, and I had this vague recollection of remembering something, but then I wanted to ask the group. He said that they're experiencing an issue where automated blocks, item limit blocks, are not released, not going away when the item limit has been reduced. So his example was there are 10 items checked out. There's a block that's in place, and then when one is removed, one is checked in, the block isn't automatically clearing. Does anybody remember? I have this vague recollection that this came up, that it wasn't clearing automatically, but I my quick search could not find it.
You mean patron blocks, automated patron blocks based on like five fees, lost items?
Yeah, he said they'd instituted a 10-item limit for one loan policy, and it was working correctly, and it stopped at 10.
Oh.
But
So
then when they checked in, yeah.
I can say at U Chicago we have this kind of block for our alumni and all of our unaffiliated borrowers, and we do not experience that issue. At least no one has told me that. So I assume that it's not happening. It's 25 items, not 10, but it's, I have to know. Yeah, I gotta tell me if it's a problem or, or I can't know. But it is a, I think the issue that you're remembering, Susan, and it could well be that there's also this has happened at some places, but the things that we have experienced was if somebody had an item that had aged to lost and there was a bill associated with it, and they were returning those items, and that was then waiving the, it was clearing the, it was clearing the bill, and we have both, we have a block both for if you have a lost item and if you owe over X amount of money. So there would be two different blocks, and they would not, there were times when they were not, but this was a long time ago where they really were not clearing automatically. And then there was a process that we had with Index Data where we could, basically, like it was a sync issue, right? So you had to run something on the back end that would sync for an individual person when it would occasionally happen. And when it was happening really early, they were having to actually run a process that was basically looking at all users because it was happening to everybody. We have not experienced that I am aware of, certainly not recently, certainly not very frequently at all. That seems to have largely resolved itself. The only thing that we're dealing with is the claim return process will frequently, if you at the end of that process say, no, mark this item missing, it'll leave the bill in place but suspended. So like there won't be a block. So if it doesn't really doesn't have a day-to-day impact on the patron, but it does make them show up in all of my, this patron is now expired and we're turning them over to unique collections. And then I have to go, wait a minute, but that person doesn't have any loans. How do they owe $150? And then I look and it's like a suspended claim. And then I've got to go in and waive it manually so that we don't accidentally turn somebody over and start getting angry, sending them strongly worded, very polite emails saying just we just want our stuff back. We don't want money. Please don't give us money. Please return the book that you have.
Right. So
So
not
yeah, I
on
mean I
item
would
limits, but on other blocks, you have seen it in the past. Maybe
have seen
that
it in the
is what I'm
past,
remembering.
not recently, but I would suggest it probably is some kind of sync issue.
Yeah, what's interesting, and Scott had a conflict, so he couldn't be here, is what he also said is that it stopped at 10 and other items are able to check out. So I'm not sure whether that means there's a. Is there an ability to block item limits on certain, on one category, but not another for the same patron? I thought they had, was like an overall
It's in the
block for
loan.
the.
It's in the loan policy,
Oh, right. So
and
there's the loan
yeah,
policy, but then there's also the block. But
and
yeah.
the
There's patron level.
synchronization job. Yeah, the synchronization job you can run. This is on the patron blog level, right?
Well, now that you say
And
that,
if
no, you it might just be on the loan policy.
now the patron block is literally at the patron level. There's a maximum number of items charged out. You can't, as much as someone might want to, because like we've had this conversation, and there's probably a JIRA for this where people would want to say you can check out three items from our technology, from our laptop lending program, but you can borrow as many standard loans as you want. But that does not, I don't think there's any way to make that work.
No,
Patron blocks are literally
there's
just at a level of maximum number of items checked out, maximum number of lost items, et cetera, et cetera.
right,
There's a
but it's in the
double
loan policy.
block.
That's what I think I have mixed up. It's like he called it the item limit block, but it's not actually a block. He's not talking about a block on the patron. He's talking about, I just realized, he's talking about the, when you have a loan, what is your loan policy? If they have an item limit of 10, you can have 10 of this whatever, whether it's equipment or whatever.
Oh,
And it
that's
said
true,
it
yeah.
is allowing other things to check out. So if you, so let's say it's equipment, so they could get to 10 equipment, they can check out other standard loan books, but then when they want check in the one equipment, it's not allowing them to check in another equipment to get back up to 10. That part.
Okay, so it's not a patron box. Yeah,
No,
you're
it's
right. I
not. I'm
remember
sorry.
we this got added in. Well, because it got added in later. Like there was a point where you couldn't do that. And we do have this for, again, this is one of those things where we have both of those kinds of, both of those are policies are in place in different ways, and no one has told me it's been a problem. And specifically, the 3 item limit is for our video game collection, and the entire university is having a year of games celebration. So if there was ever a time when this was going to show up as an actual problem, I would have thought I would have heard about it by now. So I can certainly do some testing, but I don't think it's happening for us. I wonder if he could provide some more detail in terms of like, is this happening like within a single session? Like, is somebody coming up? Because this is what happens to us with the sort of patron level block. It's often like an alum comes and says like, I want to check out these other books, and I have this book right, and I have these other books right here. I want to return these and then check these out. So I just wonder if there might be something where it's like you're checking it in and then immediately checking out like 30 seconds later, and is it just a little seepy?
Yeah, I was thinking
But
the
I don't
same
know.
thing. Yeah. Or like if the session has to end or something like that, some weirdness for it to free it up.
Yeah, I do know also with the SIP2 integration, this was an issue because it doesn't check the number of items checked out. So somebody could technically, if they had an item limit of 10, they could check out 20 things as long as it was on the under the same SIP session, because it doesn't check at the end of every checkout. But yeah, I would agree with David. It might be just that it's not updating the limits on the check-in checkout side.
Maybe
Wait a
it's
minute,
so. Tom. Sorry, I just wanted to, because we use SIP2 here, but I don't. Is that the SIP2 or is that whatever Cornell is using? Because you're using MeScan, right?
Yeah, we are. My understanding is it was the SIP2. We don't have any of these limits in place. We
Well,
have a
because like.
patron limit for one
Well, because
group.
like MeScan is checking things out in real time. Like it's checking the rule. It's not
Right.
waiting. It's not letting you scan 10 things and then waiting until the end of the session. So I'll have to test that too. That'll be
Yeah,
interesting.
my understanding of the bug was that it was something with the SIP2 protocol that, and it wasn't necessarily me scan, it was actually the protocol itself. Once, because with the initial user scan, it authenticates the user and says, yes, this user is allowed to check out items, but it doesn't go back and refresh to see if there's any blocks on the account as it's checking things out. And I may be mixing up that it may be the patron limit and not the loan policy limit. The loan policy limit might be okay. It might be the patron limit. I know it was a limit on the number of items they could check out. For some reason, it wasn't going back and refreshing it and checking it. And now that I'm saying that, it makes more sense that it's probably the patron limit and not the loan policy item limit.
Yeah, I will
Sorry, that
still want
works
to.
out.
Yeah. If I can find that Jira, I'll definitely want to ask somebody to test that.
I
Well,
was
I can
also
poke around for it
wondering.
too.
I was also wondering whether it might be what David was referring to, connected to the session, in the sense that the number of checkouts might be cached for the patron. So when a patron is first pulled up, that some general information like the loan rules are also cached, is cached because it would be incredibly slow during check-in, check-out if every single time they would have to query the whole patron account and count the number of checkouts. So there might
What they
be
do,
some
and
caching going on.
true, and what they do, and this is the reason why the and I don't know for sure if this is what they're doing for the individual loan items, I know for like the automated patron blocks, and this is the reason why it doesn't get cleared sometimes because of PubSub. They actually do have a summary table for each patron that they refer to. So as things become lost, checked in, checked out, that summary table for that user gets updated, and that's referred to as whether or not they have an automated block on their account. My guess is that they were probably using a similar mechanism for this loan block, this loan limit block as well. And this actually may even be related to PubSub as well.
Well, it could also be what Cornelia pointed to, which is sounds almost exactly like what Scott was describing.
Yeah, I found a Slack post from last summer. Library experienced issues. They had their loan, the circulation rules based on location, and the item limit doesn't work in that way. You have to have, like, if I understand it properly, I'm not sure. You have to have a circulation rule based on a loan type or patron group, not only on location. So we don't know. Scott hasn't written anything about how their circles are built. So it might have to do something with that.
I can say I literally just tested this right now in our test system and it worked as expected. I checked out three items that have a loan policy with a three-item limit. I tried to check out a fourth item. It said this patron has reached their limit. You can override. I then flipped over to the check-in screen, checked in one of those other three items, went back to the checkout screen where my session was still active, checked out the fourth item, and I checked it out just fine. So,
Well,
love a bug that you can't replicate.
yes. Well, it also could be specific to how it's defined. Like this example that Tobias gave in last summer was limited, was like they had the same loan type. So I'm curious if it's not, 'cause they what they had is like two different things interacting. And I'm curious if that is related. So we can point Scott to this and have him take a look and then also get a little more information about exactly what he has. If he shows up, he said he might be out of his meeting early, and if he does, he might pop in. And we can show him this and see if he has any more details. All right. Any other thoughts on that? This is good information to have. And hopefully, we'll help him kind of pin down exactly what's going on. My recollection is that he works in the central office at Missouri, and all, so he ends up, he's not, he may not be working. He may be working on behalf of direct end user workers. So I'm not sure. So he didn't provide all the detail, but we can see if we can sort that out. Thank you, everyone. Okay. So, Olga, you said you had an agenda item. What would you like to chat about?
Thank you. I asked that at the user SIG meeting last week, but I was recommended to ask it here, which is probably right place to ask that question. So our staff, when they check in the items, they quite often have a patron in front of them because person is returning something like equipment. A lot of our circulation is equipment. Most of our circulation is equipment. And people have to return it in person. They cannot put it into a bin. So when they have the person in front of them and they're checking in something, they often want to know if there is anything else outstanding for that person or if there is a block for that person, especially at the end of the semester when we block them in Banner. The only way to unblock them in Banner is to know that they are already blocked in Folio. So there are a lot of good reasons why staff want to know more about situation of that particular person. But the only way for them to do it is to, after they checked in an item, they have to click on three dots and then click on user record. And people usually they adjust for a second. They don't wait until you are done. In the previous system, there was basic information like number of overdues or, well, we didn't have blocks the way we had here, but that would be also included right on the screen. Like when you check out, you see some information on the screen. So they want to have similar kind of information when they check items in. I was looking for a Jira, but there seems to be none. Oh, I didn't find it. And I was curious if anyone else is what you think about it and if I should create the Jira.
I would
I
have some
don't
pretty
ever remember.
significant privacy concerns about displaying that kind of information on the check-in screen. I think most of our check-ins are performed by student staff who should not know even who the book was checked out to, let alone anything about their account.
Yeah, and I think how
This.
they dealt with it with the previous in the previous system, there were two check-ins. One check-in that has check-in app that has no information, and then there was the second check-in that provided that information. So to students, it can be the first check-in option. For staff, it can be the second check-in option.
That seems like it's creating an entirely separate workflow for, I mean, this sounds like it's more of a report to me, right? Like you would just want something in the reporting app or the lists app or something else that regularly runs and says,
No, they want it right at the moment when they have a
I
person in front of them.
well, I just have a lot of concerns about that approach.
Anya?
I would actually second that, because we did have the same functionality in our old system where you could see right away no extended information, but you could see the patron name, number of checkouts, and stuff like that. And I think it's really beneficial at regular circulation desks. But it would have to be driven by permissions, whether you see these kind of extended information display or not.
Yeah, that might be even better if it's just a permission, and if you have this permission, it shows up. If you don't have that permission, it doesn't.
Tom?
I'm gonna break things again. I kind of agree with David. I wouldn't want all this on the main screen, but I think one middle ground that might help is in the checkout screen, the username is a link. I don't think it's, I don't know, like it's six one way, half a dozen another. It may not be that much of a harm to say who the name of the person that's returning the item, and if they have the proper permissions to get into the user app, they can click that name and it opens up the same summary screen as the check-in app. You could decide where the permissions get set. So if libraries don't even want that to show up, you could have a permission that it doesn't provide that link or that column in the field. And if they do have the permission, it does. And then there's just a link to the user account directly from the checkout row.
Cornelia.
Just wanted to add that you can have check-ins of several persons on the same screen, so should be very clear. If something like that is implemented, should be very clear to who the check-in or the information belongs to.
I would also argue that you'd want to use patron barcode or something else that's not as immediately identifiable as the patron's name. I just really don't. This is not a use case that we would want to encourage at University of Chicago, full stop. And so it would have to be driven by permissions. You'd have to be able to not have it. And it also seems as though having the patron's name or any identifiable information there is actually not solving the problem, which is that it wants to say an action is needed here. Because most of the blocks and things that are in, I mean, the folio blocks are not like you don't need to take any action at check-in. Because if someone has blocks, folio's blocks are being resolved in real time by that check-in. I mean, if they're not, then that's a bug. This is.
No, in this case, what happens for us, we don't export information automatically to Banner. We do it manually. So,
Right. That's what I'm saying is it's a different system, right? Any internal folio blocks are resolved automatically, so there's nothing, there are no actions to take.
There is an action to take. Staff has to go to Banner and unblock that person. Because unless they do it, they cannot take the get their grades, they cannot register, they cannot do anything.
Right. No, I understand that entirely, but I'm saying that's a separate system, right? You have a manual integration with another system. There's no action internally within Folio that needs to be taken. And I'm not sure Folio even really has the capability of understanding to give a prompt of this person has been was blocked and is now unblocked, because I just don't know if that's even a functionality that Folio has, because there's no, I'm not aware of anything that it does in that context. So like if it's checked it in and the block no longer exists, I mean, is this a manual, like is this a patron level block that's also entered manually in Folio?
No, you're correct. That is automatic one.
Right. So I mean, I don't know that Folio could even tell you, I checked this thing in and it removed the blocks for this patron, because I just don't think it's ever really within the check-in act. I don't think it's looking for that. I think that's a It just it sounds like it would be also very in addition to all of my many privacy concerns, I think it would be complicated to do. And I do wonder if trying to pursue an actual solution, which would be in a more automated integration with the Banner system, might be, more helpful there. Or, I mean, I don't know what the workarounds are. I assume the workarounds now are people are overwriting and checking things out, but. Without knowing enough about the workflows and systems, I don't know how to solve that problem.
Tom.
Perhaps maybe two tickets. So we could add one ticket, which might be a simpler way of doing it, is so that way there's no practice to kind of alleviate the privacy concerns, is having a user permission field based field in the check-in table, and it just says a generic patron with a just as patron, and it's a link. If you have permissions to see the field or that column, you get that column, you get that cell data. They click on patron and it jumps over to the same view that it would in checkout. So that alleviates the concerns for like Chicago and that, where you're not seeing patron data, but there's still a link there to get to the patron data. As far as another ticket that you could possibly enter would be doing something along the lines of the fee fines to process manually report that's in the user's app. You could potentially ask, you could put in a UX prod for a similar report that does collect when automatic blocks are removed and have that as a report in the user's app. It wouldn't give you an automated way of removing the blocks in Banner, but it would give your staff a way of running a report internal to Folio to see what blocks might have been placed and removed, so that you could place and remove blocks from there instead of having to do it from the check-in screen or the checkout screens.
Yeah, that report might be useful. The first, it's really kind of we there is already a way, like you can click on those three dots and then you will see the same. So doesn't matter if you click on the barcode or if you click on three dots, that's more or less the same. But the report might be useful. Also, when you check in and an item, and if that item has a fine, or after it was returned, it calculated the fine. There is the small icon shows up. First of all, it's very tiny. Staff has to really pay attention to see it. And second, it sometimes doesn't, like sometimes it's correct, sometimes it's not. Like I guess it's syncing issue again. But if that small, I think it's I or F or something, like it's very tiny. I don't even know what it, or don't remember what's inside of that circle. Maybe that could be working better. That would help too.
'Cause yeah, I just want to make sure, Tom, that I'm understanding this, 'cause I don't think your first suggestion would solve the problem, right? Because it's not that they want to see an easy link to every single patron against every single book that is checked in. You want to be able to see there is an ad that this check-in cleared a block and therefore I should take an action, right? Like it wouldn't help you. In the same way that, like, having one click instead of two clicks to get to the patron information, like, if you have to look at that for every single item or every single patron, then that's not doing you any good anyway. You only want to see something if there's an action required, correct?
Yeah, if there are fines, also if there are overdues, to let them know, by the way, you still owe this book, please return it. So they basically want to know if there is anything outstanding for that particular person that needs to be taken care of.
Sorry, that would be a very different thing than just having a link to the patron account, Tom. I think is the problem.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a middle ground to make a few less clicks to get to the patron record. Because I agree, like having the information forefront in the check-in app is going to be a privacy concern for a lot of institutions, and having a second check-in app is going to add complication to the system. So I was mainly suggesting that as kind of a middle ground between the two. You're right. It's not putting the information up in forefront. It's just kind of giving a quicker access, so to speak, to that. I mean, it might
Well, and
be a way of
also there's
adding
going
this
to be
information.
blocks that aren't going to be cleared, right? Like just because
Correct.
you're
Yeah.
checking in something, right? They're looking for something of this patron still has things. I'm just saying that would be a completely new feature. I think you could, without addressing privacy problems, say, I know, I think there might be performance problems. I think doing a check against
Yeah,
every
there
single
might be.
patron every single time you check in a book seems like a potential nightmare, from a performance issues perspective, but that's not our problem to solve, right? That's the developer's problem to solve. So it sounds to me like what you would be asking for is something that is some kind of thing that would visually show, I checked this item in, this patron has blocks, yes or no, and if it's and click on the yes or no, and it'll take you to the patron to tell you more.
Yeah, the
That is
problem.
that would just be entirely new functionality. It's not something that would be solved by anyway. I'm just trying to
It
articulate
is,
what the
and
need is. And in that context, if it was simply like a yes or no, this patron, whoever they are, has blocks, and then it is a link to the user record. Existing permissions would either say yes or no, this person can look at users. And also it would then solve the problem of it's not just giving you a link for every single book that's checked in. It's telling you specifically, you should take a look at this one that you just
yeah.
checked in. I'm not saying how well that would or would not work, but I mean, I would think that would be how you'd want to solve.
It would definitely slow it down, the check-in process, because right now, and this is my understanding, and then I'll shut up for I can talk. Sorry. Is that right now the automated blocks are a background process. So when you check something in, it calls a secondary service that recalculates all that. Now, granted, it's a fairly quick recalculation. It's the same service that you call when you need to manually reset somebody's automated blocks because it did pick up in PubSub. I don't know if those are calculated on a time basis because I know when you submit that job manually, it's put into a hopper and it's only processed, let's say, every 5 minutes. They may be doing the same thing for check in and check out. are, I'm sorry, sorry, check in. But if you have to do that calculation at check-in, it's definitely going to slow down the entire check-in process. And I don't, you're right, it would be something for the devs to solve, but it would require a rewrite of how that entire functionality works. And I don't know if they could get the responsiveness down so that it could report back in time saying, oh, there was four blocks, those are now gone, or one of them is gone, because we'd have to do it for every single check-in. But yeah, Anya.
During the discussion, I realized that we're probably talking about very different use cases here. One is this block removal and having the need to do something in a different system or having a reporting or notification the staffer. And the other thing is more the service desk handling. The service desks we have in most of our libraries are more all service desks. It's not a replacement for just drop off your books for getting them checked in, but it's mostly full service desks. So even student staffers working at those desks usually have full access to patron data anyway, because they would also check if a patron comes in and wants to remove holds or whatever is going on. So in those cases, this wanting to see what's going on with a patron is being able to provide very, very quick, exceptionally encompassing service to someone who is chosen to come to a person instead of dropping stuff up off at a machine. So in those cases, it's really helpful in service if you can just, check in stuff and then say, oh, you have one thing left, is this right, or have you forgotten something? This
Yeah.
is more the thought I had in my mind.
Yeah, exactly our case. We don't have students working at the desk. It's all staff.
And as long as it could be handled by permissions, but I think Tom is right that like anything that's going to be checking every single time against every single check-in is going to potentially break the check-in app. Given how Folio is currently configured to work, I get that. I get that use case. For us, if someone is coming up to a service desk where they're typically, again, they want to take an action, and so we're bringing them up in the checkout app. They're not, and if they're returning stuff, amazing to me that they're standing there watching you do the check-in, because ours certainly do not. Even if they hand us a pile of stuff, they just throw it at us and walk away. They are not interested in, unless they have an actual, if they have an actual transaction that they want to do, and then we're pulling them up in the checkout app and going, oh, well, you're blocked. Let me check all these in. Okay, you're good. I understand the need. I don't see an easy way to solve it,
Yeah, you're right.
from a performance issue.
And that's why they want to see it right away, or because it's only a second that you have. They're not gonna hang out for and wait until you click on three dots and open their record. It's really you have very little time to catch them. But I get it, that what you described, the complications. So it's just was good to check if it were possible, and if it's not, it's not the biggest problem we have.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Hi, Scott. Welcome. Glad you could make
Hi.
it. We talked about your issue, and we did not come up with a solution, but we did see. I'll throw the link in the chat. There was a discussion about this in the on Slack, but last summer, and we wanted to find out if that might be. So I'm going to link it here. It may or may not be related to what you're seeing, but it does. We did want to hear more about the loan policies that had the limits and sort of how they might be overlapping with the ones that were
Yeah.
allowing checkouts. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, they had a DVD loan policy set for 7 days with a 10 item limit, and they tested that, and it was expected up until the limit. And if you only had DVDs checked out, you went below the limit, you were fine. If you had books you checked out, which don't have a limit, you were fine. But if you, for instance, had 9 DVDs and 2 books making 11 items, if you try and check out a 10th DVD, it's looking at that total saying 11 items and it's blocking because of that. So I may just go make a ticket with EBSCO about it, but that was what behavior I was seeing is that it's looking at the total checkout, not the total types of items that are checked out.
Is it, are the two check out, are the two items like the book and the DVDs, are they on the same loan policy or are they separate loan policies?
Separate loan policies. There's no restrictions for the books except for a patron block at 150 items. For the DVDs, they have a 10-item limit. And so, again, if you only had DVDs in the mix, it'd work as expected. But it's just looking at the total number of items altogether, even there's a mix of them. As you check on the other DVD, it's saying, okay, you have 10 items checked out, therefore that's your limit. And even if you have five DVDs and 15 books, it's looking at it that way.
As in that case, this actually does kind of sound like a bug. If you have, you said you haven't filed a ticket with EBSCO yet.
Not yet. I want to see if it's a known issue or anything we could document about it. And I'm going to take a look at this link here in just a second. If it's not the case, I'll open a ticket with EBSCO a little bit later this morning.
Yeah, the issue with the one that's in the Slack message, they had the items had the same loan type, but they pinged a different loan policy, and the error message they got was that the block was above the limit for the loan type. So, yeah, hard to say.
Yeah, I am.
So, the block doesn't consider the location when determining if the maximum has been met. That was the essential of the discussion. So, yeah, if somehow
Well, yeah.
your rules differ by location, that might be the problem.
Okay, I can
In my
definitely check and see.
understanding,
Go ahead.
oh, sorry, I was just saying. My understanding of the way this is supposed to work is it's based on the loan policy. So it shouldn't matter the material type or anything of that nature. If you have, let's say, your books and your DVDs both use the same loan policy and you had the item limit set in the loan policy, it's based on that loan policy. So if you had a combination of both that was 10 or more, it should block it. But if the DVDs are a separate loan policy from the books, it's supposed to, my understanding is it's supposed to be counting by loan policy. I
And I
would
can
like,
go ahead, Tom.
oh no, go ahead, David.
I was going to say I can confirm that like that is in fact how it is working in UChicago's system, right? Because we have an item number, we have an item limit in a specific loan policy. Now it does so happen that those items all have a unique loan type and a unique location. But it, I mean, Tom's right that if it's, if your rules are written such that the two different kinds of items are triggering different loan policies, it should be ignoring the regular loans, and then that should be, so then that's a bug. But it's not a bug that I can replicate in our system.
Okay. I'll take a look at the loan rules. We have a dry run server for sunflowers upgrading this weekend. So I can test on that and see if I can do something different, especially if I can restrict the loan policy a bit further. It would make sense if they're somehow seeing everything as the same type of checkout based on the count, as opposed to, say, a specific loan type or a specific location. But I can definitely check on that.
Are you all in an ECS environment or single tenant?
ECS, right now we're in Ramsons. We're migrating the sunflower this weekend. I tested both in Ramsons and the sunflower dry run.
And all these checkouts are happening in one data tenant. It's not cross data tenant, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Because ECS might be adding some complications to it. Yeah, and once you do all that check, if you want to submit a ticket with FSE and say, and I would even put at top of it that you believe this might be a bug and just kind of give a breakdown of what you did here, what they will do is they can confirm from their side to see if there's anything in the logs, and then they'll actually create a bug, and this would probably go to Vega anyways, with Vega, and have them take a look at it.
But my knee-jerk reaction is this sounds like a bug. But the reason why you might be seeing it and like David isn't is because you're in an ECS environment. I know a lot of the automated blocks and some of the calculations had to be redone for ECS environments. It shouldn't be causing an issue for a single data tenant, but I'll be honest, I can't remember everything that the devs did for the ECS environments around that. So it could have been something that they changed for it, and it's now causing an issue with it.
Okay, sounds good. I'll go ahead and check and do a few tests, seeing if I can do anything different with the loan rules. If not, then I'll go and document it all and send a ticket in for them to look at.
David?
I know we're at time, but just very briefly, I will say in testing this exact scenario, I just discovered another small, not really a bug, I guess, but it turns out if you check out four things in a single checkout session, but while that session is open, you check one of them in, and then you close the session, it will still send you a notice with all four items, despite the fact that one of them is no longer checked out. That's a pretty edge case. I don't imagine that would happen too terribly often, but fun times.
All right. Thanks, everyone. We will see some of you at the FeeFine meeting on Thursday. No meeting next Monday. All
Okay,
right.
thank you.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.